Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today, I'm carrying on with our Allergy Kids series. And today I'm talking to not one, but two allergy kids. And over this series, I've been talking to kids from as young as 4 years old, all the way up to being fully fledged grown-up allergy kids. And today I'm inviting on Aral and Shirali, who are going to tell me all about themselves today. So welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be here.
So the first question I'd like to ask is, can you introduce yourselves? Tell me how old you are and what allergies you have.
All right. I'm Shirali. I am 19 years old and I am allergic to tree nuts. When I was born, I was allergic to a lot more, the top 10 and some. But now I'm fortunate to have outgrown all of those and I'm just allergic to tree nuts now. I am in college studying biomedical engineering and I'm pre-med.
Oh, wow.
I'm Aral. I'm 14. I don't have any allergies, but and I go to a Thomas Jefferson High School, which is like a STEM magnet school.
Cool. Nice. You're like really technical. This is amazing. I'm like the opposite, but yeah, this is really good. So, and actually, you're not the only brother and sister pair I've had on where one's had allergies and the other one hasn't. Except last time it was the other way around. So a girl called Alana, she was 10 when I interviewed her. She didn't have allergies, but her brother, who's 4, Joshua, did. So yeah, wow. It's nice. Okay, so Shirali, can you tell me about when you discovered your allergies, like what you had when you were a kid and then how they changed?
Okay, yeah. So when I was about 1 year old, I was eating, there's an Indian bread, naan. And so I was just starting to eat like more solid food. So I was having a little bite of naan and I got this little like red rash around my face. And we just kind of ignored it for a while. It didn't really seem to have any other side effects or any other issues. But after a while, it just kind of got worse. And, you know, after eating that, I would be really tired. So we went to the doctor and they did, you know, like hundreds of skin prick tests and found out that I was allergic to the top 8 allergens. So milk, egg, wheat, and so on, in addition to corn and sesame and mustard. So that was a pretty big change from no one in our family having allergies before, so not really knowing how to deal with it, to now me having so many allergies. So fortunately, my parents took it very seriously and understood the importance of avoiding cross-contamination. And so I was really fortunate that way and to have a supportive family who took my allergies seriously as well. So I kind of just ate, you know, mainly like rice and vegetables for a couple months and stuff. But after about maybe like age 2 or 3, I had outgrown more of my big allergies and I was just allergic to peanuts and tree nuts. Mm-hmm. And I had those for a pretty long time. I think in about 3rd grade, I found out that I actually wasn't allergic to peanuts by passing a peanut challenge. And as I started getting ready to go off to college, my allergist told me that, you know, you might not be allergic to all the tree nuts and it might be helpful just if you don't even have an interest in eating them, but to know if you accidentally eat something in college, that you're not allergic to it. So I did a tree nut challenge and found out I wasn't allergic to almonds and hazelnuts. Mm. So now I am only avoiding cashews, pistachios, walnuts, and pecans. So I feel really lucky to have outgrown so many of them. And I had a great allergist, a great family, and a really good support group. So aww. I owe it to them.
Oh, amazing. And Aral, what was it like, you know, having a sister with allergies?
Well, so like I never, since like that was sort of like how I grew up, it never really like seemed like that big of a problem to me. But when she was probably also in 3rd grade, one of her friends, like, it's actually one of our like most popular post about how to, like, deal with bullying. So, like, one of her friends, I think, threw a peanut at her or threatened to throw a peanut at her. So it was, so, like, that when she got, like, bullied, that was, fortunately, like, that was the only time she's being bullied. But then it really, like, occurred to me.
Okay. And are there any, like, specific things you do at the with the family to keep Shirali safe? Is there anything you have to do to make sure that she doesn't have an allergic reaction?
So she has to carry around, like, an EpiPen, like, an epinephrine shot, and some, like, other, like, medications to deal with if she does have a reaction. But other than that, just avoiding restaurants and just, like, talking to people, like, at restaurants or the manufacturers of, like, different products to make sure that it's safe. But
and I would add that, you know, Arul has really helped me a lot. So if I am going to a restaurant and I have, like, anxiety about something and I'm just with him, he also, like, will sometimes be like, oh, can we have an allergy menu before I can even, like, talk to the chef? Or he will read labels of new products. Or, you know, if we go to a restaurant or if we're meeting with someone and they are offering me something to eat, but I'm kind of, like, not sure whether I should eat it, he would just eat it for me so I don't awkward of saying no. So there are a lot of small things that he's done, like, even since he was really little, like, maybe in first grade or something, when we were both kind of, like, not, like, I was in sixth grade, but I was, like, not really sure how to handle some situations sometimes. So even from then, he's, like, really helped me a lot in those, like, kind of, like, small, subtle ways.
Aww.
And avoid social problems. Yeah.
That's so nice. Oh, that's so nice. Oh, siblings. You can't live with them or without them.
So true. So true.
I have a younger brother as well, so I completely understand. Except he's much bigger than I am. He's 24, I think. Yeah, he's 24. Wow. So, yeah, he's done similar things as well. So, yeah, my next question is, like, what's Shirali, what was it like going to university with allergies? And obviously you don't have as many as you used to, but you've still got severe tree nut allergies.
Yeah, at first it seemed like it was going to be really hard. And, you know, I had never been on, like, a sleepaway camp or, like, those kind of things. At most, I went to, like, a trusted friend's house for a sleepover. So in addition to having, like, the anxiety about the allergies, I'd never been away from home, so I didn't really know what that was going to be like. But I was fortunate to have, like, two of my really close friends who went to the same university as me, always, like, there looking out for me. And, you know, if there was something, if we were going to an event and then I got there and found out I couldn't eat anything, they would make sure, like, I wouldn't go by myself to get something to eat. They would always accompany me. So that was really nice. I think it's a little bit, like, hard at first to find the right people. And, you know, like, on the surface, it might seem like, oh, everything, like, they have an allergy-free station. But I think it takes, like, a lot of effort to, like, talk to the right people and make sure they understand, like, cross-contamination and giving you a right answer, not just, like, a liability kind of answer.
Yeah.
Once I, like, overcame that issue, it's been going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my university's dining program actually involves, like, a lot of connections and partnerships with restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those restaurants happen to be, like, they just happen to be nut free. So, like, you know, there are so many places, like, for me to go and eat new restaurants. So I'm not even eating the same thing at the same time. So I think it was just kind of, like, hard to make sure you're meeting the right people at first. But once you get over that, it's pretty manageable, I think.
And how did you start building your confidence?
Yeah, so actually, I had a reaction within, like, the first month of getting there. And I'd been eating, like, kind of, you know, like, traditionally safe food. So I was kind of not sure where that might have come from. And so after that, I felt like, with the university, they were a little bit worried about liability and not really giving me straight answers, just kind of, like, trying to protect themselves by saying, oh, everything may or may not have nuts. We're not really sure. So after having that issue, I, like, kind of reached out to more of the, like, managing staff. And by talking to them, like, could you, like, give me a straight answer? I'm not going to sue you if something happens. I would just prefer you, like, tell me, like, what actually has nuts or cross-contamination. And I think after having that conversation with them and making them understand, like, they don't have to worry about the liability, they should just, like, tell me whether I could or could not eat something, it got, like, a lot better. And so I think once I had that conversation and felt more confident talking to them, it was definitely a lot easier to handle. Mm-hmm. And I always had in the back that, like, my friends or my family, like, would definitely make sure I don't go hungry. So.
Yeah. And then, so I wanted to talk about this allergy smarts.
Yes.
That, and this is kind of how I came across you guys. Tell me, what is Allergy Smarts and how did it start?
So Allergy Smarts is an app we designed for people who love to travel and also have food allergies. And it was born when we took a family trip to Mexico. And, you know, we had thought that, like, we both took Latin, so none of us are going to really know how to speak Spanish there. And so we thought about it in the context of, like, oh, how are we going to talk to people when we go to stores, or, like, when we're just talking to people when we go there? But we hadn't really thought about it in terms of the food context until we went to one of the grocery stores and realized that we didn't know if any of the food we were buying had nuts in it or not. Mm-hmm. And so when we came back to our hotel room, we were trying to figure out, okay, what's the Spanish word for different tree nuts? And, you know, looking that up. The Wi-Fi was kind of spotty, so we ended up having to use our international roaming data to try and figure that out. So that was kind of difficult. And then we went to the restaurant for dinner, and, you know, our server spoke Spanish, and so we were trying to explain to them that, could you please make sure there's no cross-contamination? And fortunately, there was another English-speaking waiter in the restaurant who came over and helped us deal with that. But after that incident, we realized that for meals, we were also going to have to do something to make sure that, you know, they can understand not to put nuts in my food or do cross-contamination. So it was, you know, we've had, like, similar experiences like that in other countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I think we were just kind of, like, sitting in the hotel room thinking about that. And, you know, Allergy Smarts was born. RL can tell you a little bit more about how that happened.
So we were sitting in the hotel room waiting for, like, the room service to come, I think. And that's, like, when the idea struck us that so at first we thought of like cards with allergy statements, but we realized that's, like, a little bit cumbersome. So we thought of the app, and so on, like, the notebooks there, we started drawing
those little hotel notebook pads.
Yeah, we started drawing out the different menus in the app. And so when we got home, when we got back to the U.S., we reached out to a lot of like family and friends and some professors, and so that we could get reliable translations. And mm-hmm. So we wrote out a statement, and we got people to translate it into different languages. It was done, like, all at zero, like, with no budget, because it was completely friends and family and professors. And we had a very reliable, like, my sister's allergist, he helped to review it. And so that helped us,
make sure it's
reliable.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
You know, what we thought about was that, like, fortunately, I'm only allergic to tree nuts, but if someone's allergic to more than one food, are they going to carry, like, 10 cards around mm-hmm. all the time? Or, you know, when we thought about it while we were in Mexico, we had to constantly go to the hotel, use their printer to get the cards. I would forget to take the cards to the restaurant. So it just felt like that was, like, a unnecessary problem. People always have their phones with them. Even if you don't have data, you can always just so we thought, like, it would be useful to have something like an Allergy Smarts. And, you know, it doesn't use any Wi-Fi or data, too, so nobody has to go over budget.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. And have you made this app yourselves? Who is one of you a developer?
Well, we both have a little bit of background in coding. Like, we've both taken classes. But luckily, a lot of our family also has more advanced knowledge about this. Uh-huh. So we got their help, and so we were able to figure it out eventually.
Nice. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool. So do you use your own app?
Yes, we do. So we have Since our Mexico trip, the last like international place we've been to was India. So we have fortunately most of the times when we're in India, we stay with family and they're very understanding. But if we're going to different parts and staying in hotels, it can be a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. So most of our experiences have been positive because the hotel staff understands English. But, you know, sometimes like if there's a change of the person on duty or something, it can be harder. So we did use our app last time and it was really useful. And we were just so glad that it actually worked. And someone actually said to us that they had an experience where they had a French speaking waiter and a Spanish speaking chef. And it was really nice because all the translations on the app so that he could just press one button and it would go from one to the other. Yeah, so we're glad that other people find it as useful.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go download this. Like, I can't believe I haven't downloaded it yet. But yeah, I'm going to go download it. I have looked at it.
We'd love feedback for any more languages or allergens you think we should add. We're always looking for other people who think we could do something to make that more useful.
Yeah. So anyone listening, make sure if you've... And is it available on Android and Apple?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So you've got no excuse to not go and download it.
Yes.
Whatever phone you have, you can get it.
Yes. Yeah. We actually just went to Canada, which I forgot to mention. So we got to eat in some, you know, typically we eat in like the hotels or like kind of bigger chain restaurants, but we were able to eat in some smaller restaurants because now we had this app that also had like French on it. So we could communicate with people more easily. So that was a unique experience. And I think we're excited. One of the reasons like Arl and I were talking about that we want to build this app is because to really experience the culture, you can't just be in like the tourist areas all the time. So if you have that language and you are able to communicate with people, it just opens up your world so much more. So that was one of the reasons we wanted to do this.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And how have you found like making an app?
Do you want
to? It's been a really interesting experience. Like we learned a lot about like since it was like a global effort with people all around the world helping us, it was interesting like coordinating all of that and just getting everything together and making sure it all works. Mm-hmm. And so we're also like for our plans for the app, we've found that a lot of our reviews come from college students who are studying abroad. So mm-hmm. We're going to try to reach out to more like study abroad offices and to help get the app out there more and make it get into the hands of more people. And we're also on our blog, Food Allergy Lowdown, we ask people like what languages they want to see. So we found that Asian languages are in the highest demand because mm-hmm. Also in our experience, countries in Asia have like the least awareness about allergies, and so it's harder to accommodate there. Mm-hmm. Trying to get more Asian languages as well.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, I've also got family in India, so when I've gone, if I'm staying with family, it's fine. But I've also backpacked as well. So when I had a friend with me who had a mild peanut allergy, so she'd test all my food before I ate it. Because she gets an itchy mouth and like some swollen lips. I have anaphylaxis, so she was like, it's fine. I'll test it for you. we were in Pondicherry, so in South India, in Tamil Nadu. Couldn't understand the language. We were in a rural area. We were in like a really small town, and you know, communicating it was difficult. And so it was like they kind of understand but not quite.
Yes, yeah, and it's kind of like if you know the cross-contamination mm-hmm. issue is the biggest problem, because I feel like the attitude is more like, oh, if it just touches a little bit, it's not like they're eating the whole peanut or the whole nuts with the problem be. So we tried to make the direction explicit as possible.
That is so good. And so one of the things I wanted to ask was tell me about an allergy win that you've had.
I guess it would be mainly like I feel like with my friends and family, it just feels like such a blessing because, you know, I often hear about like some stories of like, you know, people not being as supportive or as understanding. And I feel like my friends can just kind of tell if I'm anxious. So, you know, one of my other friends had made brownies one day and I was sitting with my closest friend and they were like, do you want a brownie? And I was like, no, it's okay. And so I just kept kind of saying no, but not really bringing it up or saying like, oh, allergic. And my closest friend actually became my advocate and was like, oh, are there any nuts in this? Did you make it in like a regular baking pan? Or because, like, you know, she and her family have cooked for me before and they've cooked like Indian meals for me before too. And so, you know, we were in elementary school at that point when she did that. And so that, I think, was just kind of like a huge win. And I feel like every time I have an experience like that with my friends or family, it feels like a win that, you know, one more person who understands allergies or, you know, who might be connected as a friend, but not a family, but is willing to like speak up and talk about it. And I think, you know, every, like, even if one person is willing to ask and not be like ashamed or like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing that she's not eating the food or whatever. If one person is not like that, then like, I think it's a step forward.
Oh yeah, that's so lovely. Really, really lovely.
And then thank you.
My last question actually before we wrap up is what are, for the pair of you, what are your three top tips for other allergy kids or allergy siblings and how they can keep allergy safe?
I think probably to not be shy. So I mean, I can understand that at first you might feel like awkward or kind of like maybe embarrassed about having to bring up your concept of like, oh, if you go to a restaurant with your friends and asking them or asking a chef or something about what's in the food. But if those people are not going to like you because you asked that, they're not your real friends anyway. So I think one of the biggest things is, you know, not to be shy, to ask people, and you'll find out who your real friends are that way. And I've had friends who, till now, I've known them from like first and second grade, and we're still really close because from a young age they did that. They would invite me, one of them invited me to a fondue restaurant for her sweet 16 birthday. And when she was picking out everything that was going to be ordered, before she chose what she wanted for her birthday party, she sent me the menu and said, which of these can you eat? And at the party, one person was like, oh, I'm going to order a salad with walnuts. And she said, oh, can you not order that because we're all going to be sharing the same fondue. So if you have something with walnuts, it might cause a problem for Shirali. And that just meant so much to me because at that point, I felt too shy to bring it up and awkward, but one of my friends did. So I think that was really nice, like not to be shy. And you want to say explore?
I think you should... always stay safe, but you should also be willing to explore and like put yourself out there and try and try new things and immerse yourself in different cultures.
Totally true. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think our like last tip is kind of what we try to do on our blog and with our app is like we are one of our like catchphrases kind of is like the crusade to educate. And so just if you can like educate one more person about allergies or, you know, one more person about, you know, like how to like help someone who does have allergies, it's a huge help. And so maybe if you go to a restaurant and don't have a positive experience, you don't need to leave a bad review, but you should talk to the chefs and you should tell them that, you know, this is what I think you guys should try and improve this way because other people are going to come in with allergies too. And if that one chef, if you just leave the restaurant, don't say anything to the chef, they're not going to know that something went wrong. And then it could be a problem for someone else. So just educate as many people as you can about food allergies and like explore the world with it. You don't need to let them hold you back.
Amazing. That's such good advice. Definitely. It is so nice. And where can people download your app and where can they see your blog?
So our app is available for iOS and Android. If you go to our website, foodallergylowdown.com/allergysmarts, it has the links to both the app stores, and it also has information about our language specialists and if you want to learn more about them or the different languages we have, the different allergens we have. you can say that you want these allergens added or these languages added, and we will work on those as quickly as possible for you. So
amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been so lovely speaking to you and hearing about the app and your journey and all the things you've learned.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate this opportunity, and I really can't thank you enough for helping us like spread our story and help, you know, spread food allergy awareness in the community.
So that was Aril and Shirali. What a wonderful story, and what a great app, what a great resource. I mean, I have like paper allergy cards, and I've had those like really DIY ones when I was a kid when there wasn't anything like this around. But what a great idea to have it on your phone so that you can just go between different languages when any of you need it. And I've had a quick look at the app, and I'm really excited to be using it when I next start traveling. Yeah, but I'm trying to think where I'm going to go where I don't know the language, because I think some of my traveling is places, well, it's English-based places or English native-speaking countries. So, yeah, but it's going to be really useful, and you never know who you're going to communicate with. I mean, the chef might not speak English, even though you're in an English-speaking country. So what a great resource to have at the touch of a button with you all the time, because who goes anywhere without their phone now? So we're quite a few weeks into our Allergy Kids series. It's amazing. I think we're like six weeks in. And we have a few more episodes coming until the end of October. And as you might have noticed, I've been going up the ages. So we started with some really young kids, and now we're getting to kind of late teens and going to start getting into the adults now, which is really exciting. I'm going to be talking with people who've had allergies all their lives and how they've managed, you know, going to university, finishing university and starting work and all of that. So that's really exciting. I'm going to have another great episode with you for you next week. Now, one of the things I want to talk to you about is I really would like to ask your opinion on where you think the podcast should go next. At the end of this month, it is the podcast's first birthday, which is amazing, and in the last few months we've been averaging 1,000+ downloads a month. I never thought it could grow so quickly, that people would like it this much, that you like it this much, that people would start getting in contact to share their stories. And I just, yeah, blown away by all the support and by just all the interaction. It's amazing. So to keep making it something you want to listen to, please can you get in touch with me via the eatallergysafe.com website, go to the contact page, send me an email. What sort of episodes do you want to hear? Do you want to know about products? Do you want to hear more stories? Do you want to learn about new treatments? Do you want to know about, you know, some of the more sciencey side of allergies? What type of people do you want me to find to be on the podcast? I mean, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, but I'd love to know what you actually think. So please send me an email through the eatallergysafe.com website. Go to the contact page and you'll get straight through to me from there. Send me any suggestions, things you like, things you want more of. Yeah, please, please, please do. It would really send me some help. So also, one of the things I love having is I mentioned that we get listeners write in to come and share their stories, and these are some of my favorite episodes. I mean, you'll probably have heard Felicia Sarbartinelli, Claire Fryer, Cindy Murray. They were earlier this year talking all about their journey with allergies, developing allergies in their 20s, you know, lifelong journey to diagnosis with a severe gluten intolerance of Cindy. And also Samara Carroll was suggested by a listener because she has food allergies herself but has become a food allergy counsellor in Canada. So that was really interesting to hear about, and I love all these suggestions and getting them because I know that I'm giving you things you want to learn and want to hear about. So if you have a story, if you are a listener and you've had an allergy challenge, big or small, that you've learned how to overcome it, you've learned from it and you want to share, please get in touch with me. Also, have you started a business? to help solve a challenge that you've had having allergies or being a parent of someone with allergies. I want to hear about it. Please send me an email through the eatallergysafe.com website, go to the contact page and tell me a little bit about yourself, your story, and then we'll go from there. So yeah, please keep sharing the stories. This is all what the podcast is about. And it just makes it more of a community. We can be more, you know, get to know each other a bit more by having you email in and share your stories. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you do contact me through the eatallergysafe.com website. Go to the contact page and you'll be hearing. Oh, also, if you sign up to my email newsletter, you'll also hear about all the stuff that I'm getting up to. So for those of you who are regular listeners, I have written a top 14 free chocolate treats recipe book, which has 25 plus recipes, I think. There are quite a few with lots of pretty pictures. I have been eating a lot of chocolate and I've got a couple more to test actually this week so that I can retake some pictures. And that I am working furiously hard. That's why probably you haven't heard so much of me through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything, just because I've been getting my head down doing the edits so that I can get this book to print as soon as possible. I'm also relaunching some products, which I didn't know I hadn't quite decided I was going to do, but yes, I'm relaunching the Eat Allergy Safe Chocolate Truffles. They are gluten-free, wheat-free, vegan, nut-free, peanut-free, dairy-free, egg-free, pretty much free from most things. And they won a Free From Food Award back in 2016. I had a little break from them last Christmas because I moved house. I'm just going through life-changing things. You know, those normal things that you go through in life. So, yep, bringing them back. And the aim is to get them on sale via Amazon in November, along with the chocolate recipe book. So sign up to my email newsletter. You'll also get a free preview of the recipe book in its old format, which I don't like very much anymore, but the information is great. The recipe book that I'm editing now is a much cleaner version, but the recipes are great. Some of you'll get a preview of some of the recipes. So make sure you sign up to my email list. These are the things you need to remember. Sign up to the email list so you get updates of all the things that are coming out. Also, I'll have some offers and things and in the lead up to Christmas. Send me an email and share with me your story. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. The handle is Eat Allergy Safe, and I'll be posting as much as I can over the next month. But yeah, stay tuned on here. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already, or subscribe via Android, or put it on your RSS feed. Go to the eatallergysafe.com website and go to the podcast page, and you can subscribe on there on any of the show notes pages. So that's it for now. I hope you have a lovely week and stay allergy safe. Remember, allergies aren't about missing out, they're about doing things differently.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.